Today on More to Life, help! My life's a soap opera! Too much drama in your life or relationships? We'll help you draw healthy boundaries and bring calm to the chaos. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, help, my life's a soap opera.
Nobody wants that.
Too much drama in your life or relationships? Well, we're going to help you draw healthy boundaries and bring calm to the chaos, whatever might be causing that chaos in your life, be it a personal struggle that you're going through, a challenge that you're having to face, or some person in your life who's just serving up the chaos.
Yeah.
We are here to help you manage all of that gracefully. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Often we find ourselves soap opera adjacent. There are people in our lives who are living their crazy soap opera lives. They kind of almost thrive on stress and chaos, and then they get close to you, whether it's over a holiday, a visit, those calls for help in the middle of, you know, your life. And it's sort of having, it's like having a storm, a really bad storm, that isn't actually destroying your home, but it's sure knocking over some trees and causing some chaos because it's coming way too close to you. Nobody wants to live that way. And I have to say, most of us as Catholic Christians don't want to live that way. We want to live in a place where we feel aligned with God's purpose in our life, aligned with His peace in our life. That's not about living in perfection, but it's certainly about avoiding chaotic, dramatic, soap opera style stuff, because it's not aligned with anything that God wants for us.
Well, and the, you know, and then there are the times where, you know, even if it's somebody else who's responsible for the chaos, it brings out the worst in us, right? And we end up reacting rather than responding in a graceful way to the situation. And, you know, then we beat ourselves up afterward,
yes,
or we have the kind of regret. You know, look, whatever is causing the chaos, we want to help you manage it all more gracefully. Today at 877-573-7825. Again, the show is titled, Help, My Life's a Soap Opera. And we're asking you what situations or people are causing drama in your life. You know, is it disagreements or conflict with your spouse? Your child, whether that's a young child or an older child whose choices or behaviors are creating chaos and drama. Maybe a friend is stressing you out, or someone else is just making you anxious or bringing out the worst in you. Perhaps there's a challenging situation in your personal or work or family life that's causing drama and making you feel confused or anxious or frustrated. Are you struggling to know how to respond to someone you care about who is, as Lisa was just describing, constantly caught up in their own drama and trying to suck you in? We want to help you rewrite the script for a more satisfying solution. Today on More to Life, titled, Help, My Life's a Soap Opera, 877-573-7825. You know, we're doing it a little tongue-in-cheek here, but it's a serious issue. We want to help you manage those serious situations gracefully. 877-573-7825. With that, let's, you know, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of the St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering, well, you know, how can some theology help me handle drama in my life. Well, you've come to the right place. So here's the thing. St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked kind of a big question. Basically, he said, you know, if we looked at everything God's given us, creation, salvation history, scripture, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for living a more joyful, abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships? And his answer to that question became what we call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that drama pulls us out of the receptive spirit God calls us to live in. When we get swept up in stress and tension, it becomes hard to hear God's voice or even remember to ask him how he wants us to respond.
And anytime we react to something or someone instead of responding thoughtfully, there's a greater risk of letting the enemy write the script for us, which never ends well. You know, the theology of the body invites us to step out of that chaos and reactive place and reclaim our freedom in Christ by centering ourselves in grace and adopting a more receptive mindset.
And that's why cultivating receptivity matters so much. Even in the middle of the craziness, we can pause, breathe, and pray. Lord, quiet my spirit. Show me how to respond to this person or situation in a way that will glorify you and help me and everyone involved to be better people. That little prayer can reorient everything.
Yeah, you know, think of it as creating a dramatic pause. And I like, you know, what you said there, Lisa, about, you know, asking God to help me respond in a way that invites everybody involved to be better people.
Right.
Because too often we just think, well, how can I get through this without causing drama? Or, you know, how do I get through this and make everybody happy?
Or how can I even fix them all right now,
exactly,
in this moment, like with a zap?
But with this prayer that you're suggesting, before jumping into the scene, we can step back, ask ourselves and God, where do we want this situation to go? And what would a loving and responsible approach look like? You know, regaining self-control is the first step to guiding the scene instead of being dragged through it.
Right. And then once we're grounded like that, we can help the other person get back on book, if you will. Not by criticizing, but by gently redirecting them towards solutions. Saying things like, I want to help. How can we work together to make this better?
Now, what if the other person can't or won't work with you? Well, that's when you lovingly end scene. Right? You're not abandoning them. You're refusing to contribute to the chaos. So, you know, sometimes the most effective thing we can say, especially when somebody isn't being cooperative, is, look, let's take some time to think and pray about this, and let's get back together again when we're both in a better place.
As St. John Paul reminded us, practicing love and responsibility is the key to an abundant life rooted in authentic Christian freedom.
So remembering to prayerfully practice love and responsibility always leads us back to grace, clarity, and peace, even when the drama threatens to take us off script. 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled, Help, My Life's a Soap Opera. Is there too much drama in your life or relationships? Tune into this episode of More to Life, and we'll help you draw healthy boundaries and bring calm to the chaos. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. Then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those people or situations that are causing drama in our lives. Those people or circumstances that are bringing out the worst in us or making us anxious or frustrated or confused about how to respond. Help us to remember to not just dive in, but to step back and to pause and ask you to lead us and guide us in responding in ways that glorify you. Help us be our best, and invite others to be their best as well. Help us to know when to let things go, when and when to address those things directly, and how to address all things charitably, so that in love and responsibility, we can take charge of these situations and let your will be played out in our lives and circumstances, so that even in the middle of the drama, we can build your kingdom. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, help, my life's a soap opera. Too much drama in your life or relationships? We're going to help you draw healthy boundaries and bring calm to the chaos. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Michelle, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas.
Hi, Michelle. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, my husband and his brother have been estranged for about 6 to 7 years after their father passed away. We were super close. We were super close to him and to his son. And after his father passed away, his brother kept 80-90% of his inheritance, of their inheritance, and it just created a huge rift between them.
Now, Michelle, I just need to qualify this. You said the brother, your husband's brother, kept 80-90% of the inheritance. Was that what was left to him, or did he do something shady and just make off with it?
So it sounds like, from what we understand, he was the executor, but what was carried out was not what was, I guess what was on paper, he was the executor, but to carry out the verbal wishes of what was said, to my husband's understanding, wasn't done. So it created a huge rift between them.
Okay.
So go on.
We're all super close. My children, his child. So after that happened, he just disappeared. It's been 6 or 7 years. My children as well have been, they were super hurt by him just kind of disappearing. Just felt very left out. He kind of disappeared from his own son too. Just, he pulled away. Now fast forward, it's been all these years and he is back in the picture. He has a new family now. He's married now, and everyone has just kind of like, oh, it's good. Everything is fine. But for whatever reason, I know my children still feel like you just up and left us and we're super close to you. And there's still this lingering, just elephant in the room between my husband and him. And I just don't know how to move past all that, especially because we don't want to, we just want to do what God wants us to do. So just advice or suggestions.
Well, the first question I have for you is, have you two actually prayed together about what God wants you to do? That's the first
step. And your husband, or you and your family, or you, your husband and kids together.
We have, and it feels like we have just kind of moved on because that trust is just severely broken because we're super close, and the trust just isn't there anymore.
Okay, but in terms of the praying about this, is there anything you feel led to in that prayer about how to respond or what to do, or not so much?
We're civil. It's like we feel like it's civil and respectful, but the connection is not there like it was.
Okay, well, so I think that the most important thing, you know, is well, a couple of things. Number one, you can't pretend that nothing happened, right? But you also don't want to get caught up in holding things over people. So what do you do? Well, I think the third option is basically saying, what would I need to see to know what kind of relationship I can have with this person moving forward, right? I mean, so there's probably not going to be a whole lot of benefit by bringing up the past stuff. Everything that's been said or done is said and done. But you can't necessarily trust him, you know, your brother-in-law, to have that close relationship that you used to. And, you know, what you want to be looking at and really praying about is, what do we need to see from him to move him either closer or further away? Imagine a target, okay? Like an archery target, right? And you've got these concentric circles. You know, he used to be in one of those closer inner circles, but now you've had to move him maybe off the target altogether. And for 7 years, he wasn't anywhere on that target. And now he's back. And the question is, where do we put him? you know, do we put him on one of the outer rings where he's just sort of orbiting our lives, or is it safe to move him in? And the fact is, you don't know. Right. So what you really need to be looking at is, what would we need to be able to see from him to know how close? So, for example, you know, you said right now things are civil, and that's good. You know, you can get together, you can be polite, you can talk about the weather, but you don't necessarily need to move him closer. But you might have to ask yourselves, you know, what would it take for us to move a little bit closer? What would we need to see from him to know? So, for instance, you know, you might not trust that everything's just perfectly fine, but maybe, you know, you say, hey, I could really use some help with thus and such. Would you be willing to help out with that? Or I'd like to get together to do this and this. And it's nothing deeply personal or where you're going to put yourself at risk or be particularly vulnerable. It's just something a little more than bumping into each other when you're both invited to something at the family, right? Maybe it's a lunch out, or maybe it's a project or whatever. And you see how he responds. You know, and if he says something and he follows through on it, you know, or even in your conversations, you know, when you share something with him, he's helpful, he's responsive, he listens, you know, that lets you know that it's safe to let him in a little bit more. But it's appropriate when somebody behaves in a way that's hurtful to set some of those boundaries that say, not to cut them out of your life. A boundary isn't the same thing as a cutoff, right? A boundary is just basically a healthy way in. That you say to this person, look, you hurt me, and in order to let you back in, I would need to see X, Y, or Z. And so, you know, if you do X but not Y and Z, I can let you into this part of the house. And if you do X and Y but not Z, then I can let you into these rooms, you know. But you have to kind of think about intentionally, what would we need to see from my brother-in-law in order to know that we could trust him a little bit more than just having these civil interactions? And really be praying about that. And take it in a step-by-step approach that over time allows some of these wounds to heal, or not, based on his response. Because you can forgive him but not be completely reconciled to him. That's a perfectly legitimate Christian position to take. Forgiving somebody means that I've surrendered my natural desire to want to hurt them for having hurt me. That's all forgiveness is. Reconciliation, though, is the restoration of the right order in the relationship, where, okay, I know that this person is sorry for what they did, and you know, intent on not doing those things again, and it's safe to be around them. And because of the work that they've done and the work that we've done on the relationship, we can reconcile. But if that person isn't willing to address those things or hasn't changed in any way, I can forgive them but still not be reconciled with them or trust them, because they're not trustworthy. And in fact, if I trust somebody who is not shown me that they're remorseful or now have changed in some way, then I'm actually setting myself up and setting them up for failure and possibly an occasion of sin, because I put somebody in a position they can't handle. And if I do that, then they end up disappointing me again, and I've set them up for it, and myself. So it's okay to say, you know, I don't know how to feel about him just yet. But we need to keep praying about what we need to see from him in order to know that it's safer to move him into one of those closer circles of trust, if you will. And if you're looking for more help on this, we talk about this a lot in our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's really all about setting the kind of boundaries that allow us to protect ourselves from the drama while leaving the door open for healing and reconciliation down the road. Michelle, thank you so much for the call. I do hope that these suggestions will help you think and pray about this a little bit more differently moving forward. If there's more that we can do to support you once you've had a chance to reflect on what we've suggested here, then don't hesitate to call us back. We'd love to talk with you more and see how it's going. With that, we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Our show today titled, Help, My Life's a Soap Opera. And we're talking about the drama that the people or situations bring into our lives and the challenges we all face in trying to handle those things gracefully. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
And maybe there's a repetitive thing that goes on and you're thinking, not this year, it won't happen this year, they won't do that. Yes, they will. So let's get ahead of it so that you can have victory in it and walk with God through it.
877-573-7825. Back with your calls in a minute.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, I'm Angie. Did you know a billboard can save a baby's life? It's true. You can make a difference this holiday by helping us spread the pro-life message to reach those who are struggling with an unplanned pregnancy. Our billboards and ads feature our 800 hotline for help, which connects people to pro-life centers nationwide that can assist with free medical help, baby supplies, and more. Won't you join us in this season of giving? Please make a gift today. Visit prolifeforcrossamerica.org. That's prolifeforcrossamerica.org.
Dealing with personal, emotional, or relationship challenges? You don't have to go it alone or sacrifice your faith to get good help. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of Catholic pastoral counselors has helped thousands of Catholics just like you find grace-filled solutions to life's toughest challenges. At CatholicCounselors.com, we integrate the timeless wisdom of our faith with cutting-edge psychological insights to help you make change on every level. Visit CatholicCounselors.com today and let us help your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, the show is titled, Help, My Life's a Soap Opera, as we talk about the drama that people and situations bring into our life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Jeffrey, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Arizona.
Jeffrey, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. We've chatted a few times. Here's my conundrum. Well, first of all, I don't know, we chatted a little bit ago. I mentioned that my grandson had a leukemia, and God be praised, he rang the bell last week. So,
thanks be to God.
Yes, ma'am.
You said that you have a challenging relationship with your adult daughter, though, and you were saying something about the drama with her mom behind the scenes. Can tell us a little bit more about what's going on there and how we can help you.
Sure. So here's kind of the dynamic. My daughter is an adoptive daughter who is actually my wife's cousin.
Okay.
And I stepped forward. She's now 28. When she was 8, I don't think she was quite a year when we stepped in and took
her. Okay.
Took responsibility. Anyway, moving forward, horrible divorce
between you and your wife.
Yep, but between mom and dad.
Okay.
Daughter got caught up in it. I haven't spoken to her since about the age of 16. Here and there,
and she's,
you know.
How old is she now? 28. You said
28. Okay. And I have done everything to try to endear the drama that. We have is, I also have an adult son with her mother that's natural to me, and it creates that dynamic of, well, I was the adopted one, and you paid more attention to my brother than you paid attention to me. And then, without going into a whole lot of detail, because you got a time crunch, there was a lot of nefarious things that went on from mom to try to control that narrative. And I'm not throwing her under the bus by any stretch, but it was pretty clear. It was, these are my children, and we're just going to push you out. Moving forward, I've reached out several times to my daughter to try to fix that, to show her that, hey, I can be trusted, and I can't even crack the door open. And it's like a big hole in my heart that I can't get back. Because, you know, when you're a new dad and you don't know anything, it's kind of a fast uptake to learn how to go from super independent at the age of 26 to instant dad. Because this was literally a child in need where we drove 18 hours, picked her up with court order, and then drove back to our domicile from 4 states away. And left with, here you go, now you're raising a kid. It's a struggle because I still feel that connection, and it's hard to, the family bashes me a lot, And I don't know how to get around that because I still have contact with my adult son. So, you know, the information comes third hand. And he and I have a very strong relationship. But for whatever reason, I mean, I didn't do anything to her. I think
when you say that you tried to reach out, though, when you say you've tried to make that connection, how have you approached her with this so far?
So about a year ago, my niece had a wedding and my daughter was in the wedding party, and I didn't, for lack of a better term, I didn't bum rush her like, oh my God, I haven't seen you, here I am, let's try to work this thing out. In fact, I sort of went out of my way to very tepidly acknowledge her and say, hi, how are you? And you could tell that wall was right there. And I didn't approach unannounced.
You hadn't tried to communicate with her before you saw her at the wedding way?
Yeah, emails, texts, calls on birthday. I tell you what, since the age of 16, I have never missed with a card for her birthday, for all of the holidays, text messages.
But you haven't had any conversations with her since then.
Zero. Like
you said you've been out of her life since 16.
Zero. And okay. But what I do get is her mother coming back saying, leave her be.
Okay. So we need to stop and take a break here. But when we come back, we'll be talking more with you, Jeffrey, about the situation here and offering some input. Thanks for hanging on over the break. And listeners, we're taking your calls as well on our show today titled Help, My Life's a Soap Opera, as we talk about the drama in your life or relationships or the people who are just living in drama and sucking you in. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after this.
Are you feeling overwhelmed lately, carrying burdens no one else seems to see?
You're not alone. And this Giving Tuesday, Ave Maria Radio wants to offer you a special gift.
On December 2nd, we're dedicating a special Mass and lifting up the prayer intentions of our entire radio family.
You've been there for us, helping us proclaim the gospel and share God's love with others.
And now we want to be there for you.
So visit AveMariaRadio.net to share your prayer requests.
And on December 2nd, let's lift each other up in hope.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing our pilgrimage to charming Ireland and its rich Catholic heritage. The shrines are nestled in the quaint Emerald Isle. Lovely people, marvelous food, sweeping vistas. Everyone's favorite is Mass at Our Lady of Knock and its Eucharistic apparition. We hope you can join us in August, along with our Irish chaplain, Father James Conlon.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
Teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. In the Bread of Life Discourse, documented in John chapter 6, Jesus states that he is the bread of life, and that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. The Jews were scandalized in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus does not back down, but reiterates this teaching four more times over the next four verses. Many left in verse 66 because this teaching was truly difficult. But at no point does Jesus water down his teaching and call them back. No, he allows them to leave, and even questions his 12 apostles if they too wish to leave. Jesus intended to be understood literally, and the Jews, apostles, and the Catholic Church absolutely take him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. When feeling attacked, judged, or misunderstood, our natural tendency is to react, to lash out and defend ourselves. We assume that the other person intends to be offensive. But even when it seems like someone is being purposefully antagonistic, we don't really know their true intentions. That's why charity and good psychology remind us that instead of reacting harshly, we can choose to be humble and give the other person the benefit of the doubt. That doesn't mean letting people walk all over us. It means that the best way to challenge an antagonistic person's bad behavior is to ask questions that clarify what they're trying to accomplish so that we can help them find kinder, more loving ways to get their point across and meet their needs. Clarifying questions don't accuse or challenge the other person. They hold up a mirror that forces the antagonistic person to ask themselves, is the way I'm acting really helping me get my needs met? To learn more graceful ways to deal with conflict, visit CatholicCounselors.com or check out our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People.
Listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And just as a little aside here, you might notice I'm doing a lot of talking today on the show. And
thank you.
Just didn't want you to think I was sidelining Lisa. She's got pneumonia.
Not at all. I do indeed.
And we actually had to take off yesterday to take her to the doctor. And so please keep her recovery in your prayers. It's been really kind of rough the last couple of days.
It's been very rough.
But I'm going to be doing a little more talking than usual, and Lisa's just going to...
And I'm so grateful for it. Thank you, darling. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad that I'm better than yesterday. Thanks very much to our wonderful doctor. But it's going to take a few days to get my full voice back.
So, but we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. And before the break, we were talking with Jeffrey from Arizona, who is sharing that he has an estranged relationship with his adult adopted daughter, who's 28 years old. He hasn't been part of her life since she was 16, when he and his wife, the mother, divorced. And he feels that there's been some parental alienation that's gone on over the years. He said the family kind of talks badly about him. He's reached out, you know, with texts and calls. He saw her at a wedding, and there were a lot of walls around that. And he's really asking how to reconnect with her at this point, or deal with not being able to reconnect. And Jeffrey, I want to thank you for hanging on over the break. What I would say, I think, is that you're going to have to take the long view on this,
yeah.
And maybe do some things that you might not want to do at first. Because I know that you're really hurt. But I have to say, I'm not saying this to criticize you, but I'm saying this because you need to kind of see, you know, you said that she's accused you of favoring your, you know, what you called your biological son.
Yeah.
And not really bonded with her. And I would say that the way you even described her to us suggests that there's something to that. Whether you meant for there to be or not, and like you said, you were 26 years old when all this happened. You were suddenly thrust into fatherhood practically overnight,
yeah.
And you were, you know, there's a steep learning curve, and I totally get all of that, and you know, you did absolutely the best that you could with what you had, but clearly, you know, something about that communicated to your daughter that you had a different relationship with your biological son than you had with her. And I think that you're going to have to go with that narrative, because that's the story, right?
That's the story that's playing in her head. That's the story that people in the family have supported or were planted there. So that's, in her life, the reality she's walking in.
And initially, you know, when we confront a narrative that we disagree with or feel isn't the full picture, we want to try to correct the record. The effect of that is to make the other person feel like we're denying their reality or negating their experience in some way. And I know that's not your intention to do that, but that's the effect of it, right? And so you can get to the place where you can share the fuller picture or the missing details or whatever, but that has to come down the road. The first step is dealing with the narrative you're being given and working with the story that you've got. And so if you're going to make any inroads here at all with her, there are a couple of things that I think that you need to do. Number one is writing to her and saying, you know, I've been reflecting and praying a lot about this, and I've been trying to look at the whole situation through your eyes. And although I feel like there might be some things that you are missing, when I look at things through your eyes, I see that I really failed you, and that breaks my heart. I think that I could be I would like to learn to be a support to you. At this point in your life, I would like to find ways to really help and encourage and support you, you know, in your life and relationships now as best I could. I would like to be in your life for your sake, even more than mine. But I understand that there's a whole lot that would need to be worked out. And I want you to know that if and when you are ready to have that conversation, I'm willing to hear whatever it is that you have to say. And in the meantime, I will respect your boundaries and stay out of your life. But I do love you, and I would like to be a support to you. And if you're willing to share the hurt and the frustration that you feel with me, I'm willing to listen. That's going to be a really hard and humbling thing to do, but it's absolutely necessary because you've not been part of her life for 12 years. You know, she's learned to live without you.
But also she's learned to walk in the pain of this scenario that's running through her head. So you have to realize it's not just she learned to live without you, but there's this ghost of all this stuff here, which is why you're saying everything you're saying.
Well, yes. And you know, having learned to live without you, it's more work for her to let you back into her life than it is for her to continue on as she has. And the only reason that she would be willing to do that work is because she's seeing that there's some benefit in doing it. If it's just, oh, well, Dad wants to be part of my life now, well, so what? Who cares about what he wants? Where was he for 12 years, right? That's from her perspective. You know, it has to be, listen, I want to hear your story. I want to understand your pain. I want to see this through your eyes, and I want to help support you and bring whatever healing I can to your life. And if that means me, you know, having to crawl over some broken glass for a while, I'm willing to do that for you because I do love you, and I'm sorry that I haven't been there.
And you can contact me at any time, but I really want to try to respect what you're asking me for, so I will not be contacting you that much, not because I'm mad, but because I'm trying to honor your request.
The second thing I would ask you to do is prayerfully reflect on getting into some good pastoral counseling, because I want you to be able to get some objective feedback on the information you're getting from the family. You know, because right now, and I understand why, and you're maybe even right, you know, right? But right now, the story that's going on in your head is, they're all being really unfair to me. And that may very well be true. But in order for you to get through this, you're going to have to learn to see it through their eyes and respond to the story that they own. And in order for you to do that, you need to be able to see this objectively. And being able to process the feedback you're getting from the family, from the information that your son is sharing with you, with a professional would really help you understand what work you need to do on yourself or on these other relationships that would send a clear message to the extended family, probably through your son, that you're in a different place. And you can hear what anybody has to say without being defensive. You can understand the pain behind it and respond to that pain in a graceful way as opposed to in ways that might convey that you're negating the experience or being defensive. I think those two things would be incredibly important if you're serious about reconciling with your daughter ever. If there's more that we can do to support you in that walk, I really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, or if you're working with somebody locally, that's great too. But those two things, you know, really letting her know that you're laying aside, you know, in all humility, any defensiveness, any attempt to try to justify or explain or just even add information that might be missing, you're going to lay all that aside for now. And that you just want to be here to hear her pain, to hear her story, to try to learn to see it through her eyes so that you can be part of any healing that needs to be done and that ultimately she can experience you as a supportive presence in her life. As opposed to, hey, I'd like to be part of your life now, I won't let you let me in. Which is the natural position that we want to take in these
sure,
kinds of cases.
Absolutely.
So those two things, you know, taking that posture, communicating that to her, and then getting counseling to really be able to see this objectively, or I guess subjectively through their eyes, is really going to be critical if you're serious about reconciling with her at some point. I hope that these suggestions will help identify the path in front of you. I want you to take this all to prayer, and if there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here or through CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks, Jeffrey. We're taking your calls, 877-573-7825. Our show today titled, Help, My Life is a Soap Opera. You know, we're talking about the drama that people or situations bring into our lives We're talking about the challenges that cause us to be frustrated and anxious or just confused about how to respond. We're talking about the people who are just wedded to their own drama and tend to suck us in. Tell us, is there somebody or something in your life that's causing a lot of drama and you'd like some grace-filled solutions? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. And as we go to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31.
Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Now, you know, we pick this scripture because this verse is really reminding us that even in conflict or tension, our response shouldn't be to try to just minimize the tension or just get through it or try to make everybody happy, but to bring glory to God and not feed the drama. And you might say, well, what does that mean, practically speaking? Well, it's a lot of what we were talking about in our opening reflection. Bringing glory to God in any situation means asking God to help you know what it means for you to be your best and to invite the other person to be their best. Anything other than that is either enabling or avoiding. And neither of those things bring glory to God. But if we're saying, Lord, help me know how to respond to this in a way that helps me be my best self and helps me do and say the things that really charitably but firmly invite the other person to be their best selves, that's what glorifies God, whatever the answer to those questions might be. And so by praying and reflecting on that, we're able to fulfill this verse from 1 Corinthians 10:31 and make sure that whatever we do, we are doing all to the glory of God. Well, what does that mean in your situation? Maybe you're struggling with somebody who's bringing drama into your life or a situation that's bringing out the worst in you, a situation that is causing you to feel anxious or confused or frustrated, whether that's with your spouse, a younger or adult child, some other family member or friend, a work situation, a spiritual struggle, whatever it is, you name it. We are here to help you manage that drama more effectively. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
This Ave Maria radio program brought to you in part by the following.
Triumph of the Heart is a film telling the story of St. Maximilian Kolbe's passion.
He knows the rules. I will choose 10 of you to starve until the missing prisoner is found or until death.
I can take this place.
Triumph of the Heart can be streamed at kolbemovie.com. That's kolbemovie.com.
As Christmas approaches, it brings an opportunity to reflect on our responsibilities and resolve to protect those we love. Giving your family the assurance of a secure future is a profound act of care. Through our partnership with mycatholicwill.com/AVE, you can allocate assets to the individuals and causes you hold dear, all at no cost from the privacy of your home. Secure your legacy and honor your faith. mycatholicwill.com/AVE.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled, Help, My Life's a Soap Opera. Are you dealing with too much drama in your life? Tune in to this exciting episode of More to Life, and we'll help you draw healthier boundaries and bring calm to the chaos. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. But we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Tell us what situations or people are causing drama in your life. I mean, it could be your spouse, a younger or adult child, family, or friends who are stressing you out, making you anxious, or bringing out the worst in you. Maybe there's a challenging situation in your work life or personal life that's causing drama or making you feel confused, anxious, or frustrated. Or for that matter, maybe there's a person that you care about, but who is just attracted to drama, and they cannot stop getting caught up in their own little personal tornadoes and then sucking you into. How do you manage that gracefully? Well, however drama is impacting your life, let's talk about graceful ways to rewrite that script and bring calm to the chaos. 877-573-7825. Before we take our next question, we want to send congratulations out to another EWTN radio partner, Iowa Catholic Radio, serving Iowa with 10 stations and celebrating 19 years with us this week. Congratulations to Deacon Mark Campbell, Joe Teeling, and their great team at Iowa Catholic Radio from all of us here at EWTN. And folks, wherever you are listening to EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN Catholic Radio station with your prayers, for sure, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you and your loved ones and living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. And again, congratulations to Deacon Mark Campbell and Joe Teeling and their great team at Iowa Catholic Radio and all the people who make Catholic Radio possible, especially you, the EWTN listener. And with that, we've got another question. Lisa, who's on deck?
We do. This is from Mary, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia. And she says, my sister started dating a guy about a year ago, and I've slowly seen her change. She does anything he wants to do, even when it means canceling plans with her friends or our family. He sometimes makes this happen with big romantic gestures. For example, he bought and paid for already tickets to go away on a romantic weekend to Paris for 5 days. But the problem was, it was over my dad's 70th birthday party that she had helped to plan, and I'm sure she had mentioned it to him. When she said that she wanted to be with her family for Dad's party, he cried, and he said that he had planned all of this to make her happy, and didn't she want to be with him anymore or care about his feelings, and now it looks like she's going to Paris. This is not healthy. I'm seeing all sorts of warning signs, but he comes across as so romantic and wonderful to her, I don't think she's going to listen. What should I and my family do about it? And that's Mary in Virginia.
All right, Mary. What you're describing is called love bombing, and there are also some other manipulations going on along with that. But, you know, the idea is I want to make somebody feel so loved and just caught up in all the romance of it that that's all they can see.
Yeah, it literally blinds them to anything else and really manipulates their feelings, because with these grand gestures, the person who's being loved bombed says, oh, well, how can I let them down?
They went
so far and they can't pull back to see what they even want anymore.
No, I apologize. I didn't mean to say
that. Not a problem.
But I want to be clear about something, though, that love bombing isn't just the grand gestures. Like, you could be a generous, loving person, right?
True.
What makes it love bombing is that you use those grand gestures as a smokescreen for a whole lot of other unhealthy stuff, or as a way of making up for a whole lot of other unhealthy stuff. And so if it was the grand gestures plus he was being accommodating to, you know, your dad's birthday, or being accommodating to her getting together with friends and family, or supporting her and being the person God's calling her to be, then that would just be a generous person who really loved her and was supporting her in lots of different ways, including romantically.
I'm so glad you pointed that out, because I don't want people to say, oh, well, if I do really nice things for my girlfriend or boyfriend, then I'm going to be thought of as manipulative. It's the backup of the daily things that helps that person to be, as you said, Greg, everything God wants them to be.
So the first approach that you want to take, don't lead with criticism. Don't lead with your own insights into the relationship. Don't even suggest that it's unhealthy. ask her what her feelings are. You know, say, wow, it's really exciting that your boyfriend is doing all this for you. I guess I'm just wondering, how do you feel about the fact that it's going to cause you to miss Dad's birthday? And if she even says, well, I don't want you judging me for that. Like, I'm not judging you. I'm honestly asking because I know you helped to plan it and it seemed really important to you at the time. How do you feel about all of this? Help her get in touch with her actual feelings. You know, you think about this. Just like our body has different parts, our mind has different parts too. There's a part of her that's really just caught up in this love bombing that her boyfriend is doing. But there's another part of her that wants to be a loving daughter and sister and friend. You want to try to reach out to that part by asking, how does she feel all over? There's a part of you that I understand would be really excited about this, but then there's got to be another part of you that feels, you know, a little bad about leaving this behind. Or like, tell me more about how you're feeling about the whole thing.
About the whole thing. Also use micro questions, because if you go in with, how do you feel about missing Dad's birthday party, she'll go on the defensive. But you're saying that he's taking her away from friends and family more and more. So do things like, you know, ask her about a particular friend. I'm just going to, you know, pull a name out of a hat. You know, how is Susie doing? I know you guys are really close. What's going on in her life? And then when she can't really tell you, you know, what have you guys done together lately? Give her a chance to start to have it dawn on her that she hasn't seen Susie in a while, that she's not keeping up with her as much, that she's not being the friend to Susie she has always wanted or always has been. And don't jump on it and say, well, if it wasn't for the boyfriend, you'd still be close to Susie or all your other friends and family. Give her these micro questions that allow her to start to see the cracks in what's going on with this guy.
If that does not go well, then the only other thing you can do is really try to focus on staying as close to her as you can so that when this blows up, you can be there for her.
And that's going to feel really, really hard because this guy is going to double down as he sees you getting closer and maybe even say some things about you that would put a wedge between the two of you in her mind, but don't let him win that.
Well, and the more critical you are or the more open you are about your concerns, the more that gives him the ammunition that he needs to distance her from you too, right? So if you ask these questions, and again, even if she says you're judging me, you're criticizing me, you say, no, that is not it at all. This is none of my business. This is your life. I'm just trying to make sense of it, and I want to see it through your eyes. So help me understand how you feel about all of this, and really make her think about her feelings, right? If that and whether that goes well or not, maintain the relationship, be as close to her as you can, reach out to her more than you have in the past with texts, with going out to lunch, with what, and don't make the criticism or your concerns about the relationship the star of those conversations. Make just being there for her and walking with her. So that's what God does with us, right? He tells us and shows us how to live, and he warns us about our sins, and he convicts us, you know, and reminds us that, hey, this, you're worth more than this, right?
And his conviction, I want to say this, because people think of conviction in sort of a Western judicial way. When God convicts us of something, what he does is give us the light to see that something's off, and the grand invitation to come back to him and the way he wants us to live. It's not a conviction of, you've done this wrong, and don't come back to me until you get it right. So we want to always be those people who are inviting our loved ones, in this case your sister, to know that there are people there who love her, who are always there for her, and that way she knows she has support.
So that's the approach that you want to take. I want to thank you for the call. If there's more we can do to support you through this, don't hesitate to reach out to us here again on the show. We've added you to our Mortal Life prayer list. I'm a little distracted today just because I'm worried about my wife here. So please do keep Lisa in your prayers that she recovers from her pneumonia, gets her full voice back, and we will certainly keep you in ours as well. That's all the time we've got for today's program. If you are dealing with drama in your personal life, in your relationships, in really every area of your life, and you're looking for faithful ways to respond to that drama, and notice I said respond, because as we've been talking throughout this show, the theology of the body and St. John Paul reminds us the importance of responding rather than reacting, and making sure that whatever we do is guided by love and responsibility and prayer. That sounds great on paper, but if you're struggling to make that happen in your marriage, your family life, your personal life, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Well, thanks for tuning in. Until next time, remember, with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Get out there and celebrate the life that God has in His heart for you. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.